WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I am back in Baltimore being positive about the fact that it's 20 degrees here and it was 90 degrees there. Great week on Radio Row out in Los Angeles. All of it brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets and the Wise Conversations. Tons of stuff if you've been listening to AM 1570 on the radio or out on the stream. But putting a lot of that on the air, usually overstuff the stuffing, especially by the end of the week. Luke, you've been to a dozen Radio Rows. I've been to 28 now. The Friday Radio Row thing, I guess I just would talk about it because people listen, they'll hear the guest or whatever. I've never experienced anything like it, thinking that on the Friday of the Super Bowl in LA, there would be like people and celebrities and stuff like that. It was really like not like that at all on Friday. Friday was like sort of the dead day, and everybody in the media was a little shocked by it in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. I know they had a Screen Actors Guild issue. I had Joe Montana on, but for the most part, most actors were not allowed to give indoor interviews without fast PCR COVID testing on site. I guess that's a Hollywood red carpet thing, and the red carpets are outside, so they're able to do all of that. Inside's been different with COVID shutting down productions and whatnot, as you're well aware, in the National Football League, right, which is a made-for-TV production. But it was quite the week. We had a wide variety of guests talking about everything from magic mushrooms and cannabis and ex-players to all sorts of health issues and mental health issues and football issues and baseball issues. I had Eric Fisher sit down and talk about the baseball strike. Being in LA, which is a baseball area, saw a lot. I saw more Anaheim Angels gear than I saw Chargers gear, than I saw Lakers gear, certainly more than Clippers gear. I saw more Milwaukee Bucks gear because the Greek Freak was in L.A. twice last week. I could have gone to the Clippers game for $10 in the Greek Freak play. How about that?
Yeah, that would have been fun. That would have been cool. But
well, it's $10 to see him play on Sunday night for the Clippers. It's $120 to see him play two nights later for the Lakers. That's L.A.
Yeah, well, that's L.A. and that's LeBron, right? I mean, you're talking about an all-timer there. And, I mean, Giannis is been a major star, won a title. So yeah, I'm not surprised to hear that difference. Maybe that much of a difference, but yeah, it was interesting. And you mentioned the Screen Actors Guild thing. I mean, the one thing that I was surprised of just following the coverage from afar back here on the East Coast was exactly what you just mentioned, the lack of actors on Radio Row and big time celebrities. That, not that there weren't those, but it felt more like a very, dare I say, typical Super Bowl in
it
terms
of... It was a football crowd. It wasn't even like... There were no rock and rollers. There were no TV stars.
Like when it was in Indy, for example, you know, like that kind of... Like you would go back and look at who was there in Indianapolis. It probably didn't feel terribly different than that. Although I
were
feel like that
the
was
room
your...
in New York when like Bill Murray just walked in and strolled around and walked out?
I can't... I mean, I was in New York. I remember, well, what? We talked to Jennifer Garner, and I remember we talked to the stars from the show The League, which was really cool for me because I loved that show at the time.
What about the big TV show where they mix the meth up? That guy.
To mix the meth up?
Breaking Bad. We had that guy.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I guess it was that year.
Dude, so, we had Geraldo Rivera and Reverend Jesse Jackson sitting on the set at the same time. I mean,
yeah.
Like, you know, and Chelsea Handler. And, like, it was nuts.
Oh, but sure.
This was not like that in any way. And, by the way, my best Bill Murray story is I ran into him having a sandwich across the street.
That's cool.
Coming out of the deli.
Very cool. I mean, anytime you can run into Bill Murray anywhere, it would be awesome. So,
and he looked homeless as usual, you know.
hey, when you're Bill Murray, you can dress and look however the heck you want. You know, I mean, you're not trying to impress anyone. It's like we always joked about with John and Jim Harbaugh. John always, you know, very corporate CEO looking. Jim looks like that guy who was the high school quarterback and still living in the same town, so still going to the same bar and doesn't care.
Looks like he needs wrinkle-free pants because he doesn't own an iron.
Exactly. So, and I can respect that as someone who doesn't like to iron, but you know. So, but yeah, that my biggest takeaway just following the coverage was it wasn't, and I guess COVID had to. You know, you had to figure that was going to be a part of it to some degree, but I was still surprised not to see more celebrities and even let's call it what it is. I mean, even some of the B-list celebrities who are trying to become that A-list, you thought you'd see more of that. But as you mentioned, if it's a Screen Actor Guild thing, well, you know, not a shock to hear that, I suppose.
Luke is here. I am here now. And we're sort of wondering what's next, right? Like, it's, by the way, I had a delicious strawberry from Wise Markets. My wife got me this beautiful giant strawberry, chocolate covered, dark chocolate. So I'm licking my lips and doing my Rofo coffee here this morning as I get back sort of on the grid and feeling the vibe and getting back to 15 degree mornings after 90 degree afternoons, and my skin's peeling and all of that stuff's going on. For the Ravens and the timeline, and I started to think about, like, am I going to the owners' meetings in 6 weeks? I did hold a flight. So I think I'm going to go down to Florida for that if I get the opportunity to do that. But the calendar for the league and the game being so late and spring training not really being a thing, and even being out in LA, I was going to kid around with you and say, Bill Murray, they made a golf tournament after him, right? Finally, this Phoenix golf tournament is everything his golf career in movies probably would bring to life, right? And Happy Gilmore and all, and a bag of donuts. But, I'm not a golf guy. March Madness, my wife and I were at State Fair having dinner, at Portales with the delicious Valentine's Day menu. We love that. A little chicken piccata was great. College basketball's on, and I'm just thinking to myself, all right, what's hockey's happening? You mentioned the Lakers and the NBA and whatnot, but I'm thinking to myself, all right, baseball, football, my normal routine of all of this. The Ravens off season is going to be fascinating, from a new president to where all that is. But I think the league, and on the back end, and I was thinking about this even on Friday on Radio Row, as Russell Wilson was walking through doing Radio Row, and I'm thinking, why is he rolling around? Oh, there's jobs out there and lots of seats and lots of strange places, and who's going to wind up where? This next 6-7 weeks, for those of us who cover the league, probably as interesting as the actual games on the field as to who's going to be in a Chiefs uniform and who are the Ravens going to target to improve here in the next few weeks.
Well, and I think even going back to the Super Bowl, how we said that there wasn't that wide, you know, legacy type discussion about any individual person. The Rams win, you say, okay, good story. Some good guys that you're happy for. I mean, Eric Weddle, great story here locally in terms of being happy for him. But you very quickly turn the page, right? I mean, you're not talking about Tom Brady's legacy for the next 2 weeks or Patrick Mahomes' legacy for the next 2 weeks. It's very much now, as you mentioned, because, hey, we're a month away from free agency. I mean, literally, we're a month away from free agency at this point. And, draft Twitter and the draft pundits and draft junkies very much already into that. But for those that,
by the way, I talked to Mike Tenier, sat with me at the game the other day, and I love Mike. He got there kind of late in the week. I'll get him on. But you know, people went to the Senior Bowl, right? I mean, sure. You see, like, all of that is now stacked up. It's like, boom, it's March already, right? Yeah. That's the part of the Super Bowl being. Used to be in January, that they've now stretched this thing out, that the calendar, good for them. Good for the National Football League, because they only take a week or two off in June or July to sort of go away around the 4th of July. But baseball doesn't want, the baseball part of this for you and me would be, oh my God, spring training started yesterday, right? Like, literally, pitchers and catchers. And if the Orioles were normal and weren't owned by pricks, you and I would be down in Sarasota next week at Yoder's, eating Amish food, hanging out, spending too much money, and putting our sandals on and hearing the crack of the bat. And, like, if things were normal, if they weren't jerks. And if they weren't on strike but my body clock for the first 20 years of doing this was to really be into baseball. And that's sort of, I'm grasping, I'm reaching, I'm missing it. The Terps, obviously, who they're going to hire becomes a story. And I talked to Bruce Posner about that with Terp Talk 2 weeks ago as well. I'm going to latch on to the Ravens off season because, much like you, it's the movie I follow at this point. And it's not just the Ravens off season. For me, it's the other 30 teams other than the Bengals and the Rams that weren't good enough to get there, because there's a lot of moving parts in the league. There's a lot of money being thrown around now with the salary cap that make it available for teams to do things that may be a little more unorthodox. We've seen the trades on the trading deadline. You talk about the Rams loading a team up. Most people didn't believe you could do that. That you could buy a Super Bowl, quote unquote, and then mortgage the farm for it, give away draft picks. I mean, nobody does that this side of Dick and Daniel Snyder, right?
Yeah, well, just to go back to finish your point, as far as, I mean, the Terps are bad. you know, they're towards the very bottom of the Big 12, Big 10 with 14 teams.
Some nights you look up and they're losing 30 points.
But you can't be surprised by this. I mean, when your coach leaves before you even get into conference play, I mean, I think that's very clearly illustrates the state of the program right now. You know, they played hard at times, and then other times they're giving up 110 points on their home floor. I mean, you know, it is what it is. But in a sense of what matters, it's after the season, right? It's not what Danny Manning's doing right now. It's who are they going to hire? So I think they're very much in a holding pattern where, you know, I even tweeted it. What was it, last Wednesday or Thursday night? I'd completely forgotten the game was on. I put it on and I saw the score and it was just like, whoa. So it kind of just shows where the state of that thing is right now. So it's not something that's captivating you. Certainly not something that you're talking about over the course of the week. You might tune in and see what's going on and see, you know, if Eric Ayala or, you know, whoever, you know, Dante Scott has a good game and see if they have a chance to pull off an upset. But it is what it is. They're toward the bottom, and that's not shocking at this point. As you mentioned, with the Orioles and Major League Baseball in general, I mean, I even tweeted it in the moments after the game ended. Pitchers and catchers report in, who knows, as I shrug my shoulders. I mean, it really is a case of, and I want to correct you because I want to be very clear about this. They're not on strike. It's a lockout.
This is
the owners doing. Well, I'm just saying that because this is the owners doing. If you look at how negotiations have gone, and I don't want to get too much into this.
No, this isn't the Don Mueller hour. We run away from the truths of baseball. This is disgraceful. It's disgraceful.
My point,
let's start with that and then work backwards from that as to whether John Angelos really wants to play or doesn't want to play. We went through this with COVID the last 2 years too. Again, I came from a baseball city. Everybody I was around talks in baseball last week, like it's a thing. And I'm thinking, man, it used to be a thing where I am, but it's not a thing right now.
Well, I mean, see, this is where I have concern. And I meant more so, and beyond getting into the minutia of it, to me, I look at it very clearly. The owners decided to lock out the players. They did not have to do that. They could continue negotiating with the lockout still, or with the lockout lifted. You know, there's nothing that's stopping them from doing that. And you look at where the players have been as far as some of the concessions they've already made. What's frustrating about this, Nestor, is this is not the 1994 strike in terms of they're trying to really dramatically, fundamentally change the structure of the game at the time being a salary cap and all of that, seeing what had happened in the NBA and the NFL in the years leading up to that. This is something where nothing would fundamentally change. I mean, the players have already conceded, and, you know, talking about service time, and they've already conceded and say, okay, we can add two more teams to the playoff mix. So the players have actually budged. And even right now, if the owners accepted what the players are offering, they would still end up in better shape over the coming years than they've been in recent years. But, you know, to me, this feels much more like the owners are just trying to dig in and break the union. And I think the only thing the players are really guilty of in this negotiation, if we even want to call it that, because the owners really haven't negotiated, is how lousy they did in the two previous CBAs that have kind of led them to this point. I mean, that's really where the players are at this point. But you look at this, it's not as though there's some colossal issue here that, you know, that one side or the other is trying to dramatically change. It's just squabbling over money and percentages and what the luxury tax threshold is and arguing on the lower end as far as what the minimum salary is going to be. And, you know, the owners, as we've said for a long time now, are hellbent on maximizing profit in the present. The long-term well-being of the game be damned. If it means that they can maximize and make more money in the present. So I think what's concerning to me, and you mentioned LA compared to Baltimore, and look, I'm not in the 30, you know, the 28 markets that Major League Baseball exist, but I think the problem here is, okay, football's over. The NBA has, you know, has a strong audience, but certainly not an audience anywhere close to football. I mean, nothing is. You know, people aren't paying attention to the Olympics even at this point. But I think what you see is the smoke and the dust is going to settle from the Super Bowl, and pitchers and catchers aren't going to report. And I think what my concern would be as a baseball fan, not as a Major League Baseball, but just as a baseball fan, you know, with the disdain that I have for the owners and for, you know, the organizing body of the sport, is I'm not sure how many people are that worked up about the fact that pitchers and catchers aren't reporting this week. And I think that's what the problem is. That's what the concern is. And I think back to, it was the last Friday home game of the year last fall, last September. It was a Friday night. I mean, the Orioles were so far out of it. And look, not at all suggesting that a sellout or anything like that. But it was a nice night. It was a beautiful night if you want to go to the ballpark. Last Friday night, home game of the season. There was no one there. I mean, it was literally, I mean, I can't remember what the exact announced attendance was. Couldn't have been more than a few thousand people there. And it was a really nice September night on a Friday. And to just see that, I mean, that tells you right there kind of where your baseline is, right? And to see how few people were there. And, you know, last year attendance was down. Of course, COVID was a part of it. And you had diminished capacities early in the season and all that. So I'm not going to say that it was a, quote, normal season. But all these factors and what we saw 2 years ago with what the owners tried to do in terms of trying to screw the players out of what they were entitled to in terms of prorated pay and trying to pay them even less than that for a 60-game season. And we said it at the time, this is going to be the precursor for what's going to be a work stoppage 2 years later. And here we are. And you know, with this latest offer that the owners made, which is kind of the first real offer that they made, not saying it was a good offer, but at least it was an offer. I mean, what, we're 7 weeks into the lockout, roughly? What, 7, 8 weeks, 10, you know, whatever it is, exactly. I guess it's more than that. But you kind of look at this, it's like, are you trying to negotiate or are you just trying to break the union? And for me, it feels like the latter. And I don't know what the timeline's ultimately going to be here, but look, moving back spring training, no big deal in the big picture for most fans. You know, if they were to strike a deal tomorrow, you know, as you and I are talking about this in the present, most fans would shrug their shoulders and wouldn't even know there's a lockout. You know, I think a lot of casual fans aren't even aware of that because they just don't pay attention to the offseason as much, especially if you're someone who loves multiple sports. But you get to the point where you're talking about losing games as we're on you know, the back end of 2 years of disruption because of the pandemic and how that's changed people's you know, leisure activities and what they value. We're talking about inflation in this country. I mean, people have less disposable income to do things in their free time even. And you're talking about something that's not cheap. I mean, my goodness, I can't imagine how catastrophic it could be if Major League Baseball misses time into the regular season and you're losing games and you're talking about it being mid-April and you're not playing baseball yet. I mean, that is awful. Absolutely awful and shameful and a word that you use a lot, disgraceful, if it comes to that for Major League Baseball. And I was talking about this, you know, with someone after church on Sunday. You know, someone actually asked me, like, are the Orioles going to make any? And you know, he's a casual sports fan, not really someone who follows it real closely. And but he knows what I do for a living, and he asked me, are the Orioles going to make any moves? And I said, oh, no one's making any moves right now. And I kind of went into it, and he has grandkids, and his grandkids are into sports. But guess what? They're not into baseball. Is not one of the sports that they're really into. And we've talked about this with streaming and making your product accessible to young people. And we've talked about this a lot, how people my age and younger do not have cable and satellite anymore. They're streaming. And we know that whole racket with Masson. And it's not just Masson. It's lots of RSNs who've had this issue in various markets. But the problem is,
I love how you call it a racket.
You know, it's a total racket. But the problem is, you don't make that product accessible to the parents of these kids. All right,
I'm not running over broken glass to get shitty Orioles games this year. I'm just not.
I mean, it's just
like,
but it just
whether I'm worrying about my cable based on whether I'm going to have baseball games. They might not play anyway. It's insane.
Absolutely. But the
I just moved. It's time for me to cable cut the cord. And I've been doing the math on that the last 30 days without cable TV and wondering like, all right, what's the next thing for me? By the way, if anybody knows anybody at Comcast, ask them to pay the bill from back in 2010 from the soccer tournament, Xfinity. But I'm at that point where I used to pay $12 a month for home team sports, and I would have bought Super TV if I had a chance. That was a long, long time ago. And this opportunity for them that exists in a 53-year-old heart of a, you know, Latino Baltimore sports fan, my heart says it's baseball season. You're telling me there's no such thing, kind of, sort of, right now. And that's not good.
Well, and you just said it. you're not the problem with that mindset. The problem is someone like you, their children, and then their children's children, talking about 30 somethings who have 8-year-olds now. And if the product's not accessible and mom and dad don't have cable or satellite, and I understand that cable and satellite's not, you know, it's not cheap. I understand that. You know,
look, I mean, how am I going to gamble on these games if they don't play them?
Well, you know, there's plenty of, there's always something to gamble on. I mean, that's something I can tell you. There's plenty to gamble on if you want to, but to finish my point, baseball, Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, the owners, they are constantly worried about the present and maximizing their profit margins right now. And look, I will say the one point I will make, not to defend them, but at least acknowledge their point of view, is we do have a dramatically changing landscape in terms of how we consume sports. So that there is a challenge there to try to project what that means. That's why I've been saying for years they need to adapt in terms of leaning into streaming services and what have you, and get rid of these local blackout. MLB TV is a really good product. It actually really is. You know, if you subscribe to that, except for you completely screw the local fans that they can't watch their team in their home market. The product itself is a really good product. I'd say, dare I say, it's way better than what you get with NFL Sunday Ticket in terms of how that's set up. So, you know, I think I fully acknowledging that, but this ain't it, as they would say, in terms of how they're trying to go about this. And what's scary to me is you're saying what you're saying, which, you know, there's other 50 somethings and 40 somethings and even 30 somethings like me that are saying that. But the real problem is if they lose you, but that means they're losing your kids. That means they're losing that demographic, losing their grandkids. And that's where we talk about baseball is not dying right now, but it could be 20 years from now. And as I, you know, I had this conversation with the gentleman at church I mentioned a couple minutes ago, you know, my biggest fear as someone who loves baseball, but really does not like Major League Baseball right now in terms of, you know, how they operate and how they see their sport, is I don't want baseball to turn into, and I say this with no disrespect, but horse racing is something that most sports fans pay attention to for 3 days a year at this point in time. That was not the case 60 years ago. It certainly was not the case 60 years ago. I mean, look at boxing, you know, where boxing was in the mid 20th century compared to where it is now, where it's very much a niche. You know, so, I mean, there are always ebbs and flows in terms of popularity of sports. And I mean, it took the NFL a long time to get to where they are now, which is king of all sports. But you know, I have a lot of fear in terms of someone who loves baseball that it's going to just continue to be left behind and be at the point where, you know, it's going to be an afterthought as it relates to the casual sports fan. And that's where, as go back to my point in terms of when the dust settles at the Super Bowl and we stop talking about that. And yeah, the NFL offseason never really goes away, but it's not something we're talking about breathlessly 8 hours a day necessarily. But, you know, the worst thing that can happen is you go away and people don't miss you that much. And I think that's where baseball has to be very, very careful in how they navigate here with this lockout, not a strike, because I don't really put any of this on the players whatsoever. I think I would say they're negotiating in bad faith, but that would actually require some negotiating to actually be happening. And that's something that, frankly, I don't see the owners doing whatsoever since locking out the players in December.
Luke Jones is here. We're talking all things baseball in the aftermath of the NFL. Plenty of things going on with the Ravens and Owings Mills as well. We'll be monitoring all of that. You can find Luke out at Baltimore, Luke, and of course out at Baltimore Positive. Lots of guests. I've been mixing it up around here in the in waiting for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour to resume on March 4th, getting through the bad weather here, but doing some great work and out and putting the schedule together. We're going to be out doing stuff in March and April and looking forward to that, even if the Orioles aren't. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.